Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.
What's up, everybody? This is Roz and Witz here at the Sporting Edge. It's been a long 2 weeks without our boy Witz. I got worried. I had to call in the dogs. I had to call the National Guard. I sent my own little life preserver, but we found him. He's okay. He's made the travel back. He's back at Illinois Wesleyan. I'm here at Dayton, but we're excited to have you back, Witz, and we're kind of curious what went down in the nasty Fort Lauderdale.
Well, Roz, it's great to be back. I had an amazing time in Fort Lauderdale. I'm sorry that I couldn't get to the show last week, but I know you and Mike killed it. Did a great job talking about the tourney, but Fort Lauderdale was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, it was a great way to, you know, basically to top off senior year, spring break. I am going to Nashville in a couple weeks, though, so keep the party rolling. But, you know, I need some Advil. I need some water. I need some more sleep. You know, school, I've kind of been a zombie this week, but it was totally worth it. You know, the 40 hours of driving down there, you know, we drove the Yam van, which is my buddy's minivan. It was an awesome time. Listened to EDM hits for about 10 hours straight driving through Georgia and Florida. So there was no shortage of music, and the beach was unbelievable. I don't know how I ended up in Illinois. And I don't know why, you know, what did I do to deserve it? But Fort Lauderdale is a place to be. It's warm. Basically, all of Florida is awesome. I mean, driving over the bridges, see the entire ocean. It's so much cooler than the cornfields we have in Bloomington, Illinois. And, you know, a little bit about my trip. You know, we stayed at an Airbnb, really nice house, had a pool. You know, we had a roof that we jumped off a couple too many times. Everybody ended up okay. But, you know, we had a great time, went down there with seven buddies. My sister actually went down there as well. She goes to Ohio State. So I met up with her on the beach a couple times. We went out to this bar called Sangria's. Had margaritas that were a little bit too big, danced a lot, had a great time, and overall it was a great experience, but I'm glad to say I'm back.
Yeah, and we're glad to have you back, Witz, and it's nice that you and your sister got a little bonding time. It's nice that you're safe. I know jumping off a roof is always that fraternity story you hear on the news, some broken legs, some broken heads, some broken hearts, so it's tough out there. I'm glad you made it back all right. I'm excited. We're in the middle of March Madness. And we have two special guests on today. We have Jack DiMaggio, who is an assistant with LaSalle. I'm very excited. He's got great NCAA insight. We're going to talk to him. Then we've got Princeton standout forward, Stephen Cook, who's joining the show. We're going to talk to him about his NCAA tourney experience, his first in his 4 years at Princeton. They also won the conference tournament championship for the first time ever in Ivy League history. It was their first tournament.
They went 14-0 regular season.
14-0 regular season.
They really steamrolled the competition.
Absolutely. So it's going to be really good to have him on the show. We've got some awesome stats about him. We're going to ask him great questions. So really excited. So me and Xander are just going to go in a little bit, give our insight on how we felt the games went Thursday night. I mean, it was tough for me because it put an end to my bracket. My champion's still alive, but you look at the possible points remaining, and it just doesn't add up for me to win this year. It's okay. We'll bounce back next year. This is why March Madness is so great, because it's something to always look forward to. Purdue took a bad loss, Xander, and me and you get into it all the time about the Big Ten and the Big 12, actually, and I was wrong. I was wrong on that day. Purdue did not come out with their best stuff.
I know I've been a Big 12 believer, but, you know, I actually had Purdue in my bracket, so this was really disappointing for me as well. I mean, they came out so hot. You know, I thought Caleb Swanigan was going to be, you know, the X factor in this game, and he didn't have a bad game, But I mean, this Kansas team just swallowed up Purdue in the second half. I mean, I was at a restaurant. I wasn't really watching the game that closely, but you know, I saw Purdue was playing really well first 10 minutes of the game. You know, they went into half down 7, and the next time I turned on the TV, it was a 25-point game, and it was just it was depressing, to be honest with you. That's what it was.
It was really depressing, especially since they looked very good in the first half. They really seemed to have it all together. And then, like you said, they ended the half on a 22-7 run. So now they're down 7 going into the half opposed to being up 8 like they were. And that's a big difference. I mean, that's a confident Kansas team now coming out of the locker room. So it made sense. I talked to Mike, our buddy Mike, who did the show last week. He's getting over it. Our condolences go out to him right now. He's very sad about the Purdue loss. But he said, I mean, this Kansas team could have beaten an NBA team last night. They were rolling on all cylinders. Everything was connecting.
They shot 55% from the field, 54% from deep. I mean, that's really tough to beat. I mean, this Kansas team is really good, but it's tough to beat any team that's shooting that good. And obviously, you know, Frank Mason showed out, you know, 26-7-7, had an unbelievable game. And, you know, Josh Jackson had a great game. It was an overall team effort, and they came out in the second half, and like I said, just destroyed Purdue. Absolutely. I mean, they had no chance.
Yeah, that's the exact sum up of that game. Frank Mason was fantastic. I mean, their guard plays great. Josh Jackson is an athletic god. It's unbelievable. So we're going to see their matchup against Oregon, that was a heartbreaking game for me, Xander. I watched that in full. There's something about this Michigan team that was like a feel-good story. And to be honest, that could come because earlier in the week I watched that 2013 run this Michigan Wolverines team was able to put together, and they were so close, losing in the finals to a very deserving Louisville team. I mean, I love that Louisville team with Russ Smith and Peyton Siva. But it was a tough loss yesterday. Derek Walton Jr. taking that last three. I mean, I guess somebody – actually, Xander, we're going to stay woke. We're going to have a little bit of a woke moment on that three. They're down one, 69-68. They've got about 8 seconds, and instead of driving to the hoop trying to draw a foul or just putting a layup to win one, he did a step-back three. Now, the spread for that game, Xander, was Michigan minus one. He hits that three. We got to cover. So we got to
win and a cover, but you got a lot of happy people.
You got a lot of happy people. Do you think he had some money on the line?
You know, Michigan, I mean, this was a team, you know, it seemed like a team of destiny. I remember I turned them on, I think like a week and a half ago, the Big Ten tournament, they were playing Illinois in the practice jersey that looked absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, they kept winning and, you know, they turned from a team of destiny to this was a very good team that got hot at the right time. And that's what the tournament's really all about. I mean, you can beat whatever seed you are. If you get hot, I mean, you know, like you said, they were one, you know, layup away from being in the Elite Eight and playing a Kansas team that, like you said, is very good, but they are beatable. I mean, they've had some clunkers this year, but, you know, they came up a little short. And, you know, Oregon, I think, is a pretty good team. I don't think they're going to beat Kansas, though. That's my personal opinion. I had Purdue taking down Oregon in my bracket, so that's where I stand on it. But I think this Kansas team is better than Oregon, and I think Dylan Brooks might be the best player on the floor in that game, but I don't think it's enough to overcome this Jayhawks team.
I agree. I think Kansas is going to out-muscle them, out-athleticize them. I don't even believe that's the right way to put it. But if Dorsey comes out and plays like he did last game, not the Michigan game, and he goes 9 of 10 from the field and shoots 4 or 5 from 3, that keeps him in the game, I think. And like you said, Dylan Brooks, who could be the best player on the court, although it's tough when you got Josh Jackson and your eventual player of the year, Frank Mason, on the other side. So right. I think it's going to be another runaway game, unfortunately. But like I said, if Dorsey can come out and start hitting the shots, he was a little cold to start the game yesterday against Michigan, or 2 days ago against Michigan, then I think they have an opportunity. This Kansas team does go through spurts where they can't put the ball in the hoop or shooting-wise. I know they're very athletic and get to the rim. But it'll be interesting to see, Xander, and I know that we both were on the Purdue train, that Big Ten train that I was loving so much, had 3 Sweet 16 teams. Now we're down to 1 Sweet 16 team playing against Florida, which we're going to get into, played Florida, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But that's all the time we have this segment, everybody. Thank you guys for listening to us at LibertyTalk.fm. This is The Sporting Edge, and we'll be back right after the break. Thank you very much, everybody.
What is up, everybody? We are here at the Sporting Edge, and we have a very special guest today that we talked about in the first segment. Jack DiMaggio, a longtime friend of me and Roz's. You know, we've known him since he was 8 years old. Great guy, future president of the United States. So in year 2030, when his name is on the ballot, check the box. Jack DiMaggio, how you doing, my man?
I'm great. How you guys doing? Really appreciate being on.
We appreciate having you.
Yeah, we're doing good, man. You know, and we wanted to ask you, you know, you're at LaSalle. You've been a part of their basketball program for your 4 years there. So you mind telling us a little bit about, you know, what that's been like being a part of, you know, a pretty good Division I basketball team?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been an incredible experience. You know, like UX, you know, I was a high school athlete at Deerfield and wanted to stay involved in sports in college. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of demand for people like me at the Division I basketball level to play. So I thought that the manager route would be the next best thing. And it's turned out to be a really great experience for the last 4 years. I've had a variety of roles in the program. The main thing is getting in the gym with players outside of practices and games, going through shooting workouts, ball handling workouts, whatever they need to do to develop their skills. Then in practice, I've done, you know, some scout team stuff, which has been a lot of fun. I'm a big man on our scout team, so I go up against our 6'10 guys every day.
What are you, about 6'5 or 6'6 now?
You know, that's what I tell myself to get myself ready for practice, but I think I'd be lucky to be 6 feet. And then in games, you know, just helping out wherever I can. So it's a variety of roles, but it's been a great experience. You know, didn't achieve the ultimate goal, which was to get to the NCAA tournament. But we had a lot of great wins and great memories over the last 4 years.
Absolutely, Jack. And you talking about being on scout team. So I know you're going up against these 6'10 guys and everything. But you probably have a nice little step back that you're not sharing with us right now. Tell us, are you a better shooter than some of these guys on the LaSalle team?
I don't. If I were, I think that would speak poorly about my skill development work with them.
There's a catch-22 here.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's a gotcha question from Roz.
I know. Gotcha journalism, so.
Yeah, no, we like to occasionally do some shooting competitions at the end of workouts, you know, free throw competitions and whatnot. I usually lose, but if I win, I won't play those guys again for the next few weeks so that they have to listen to me brag about beating them in the competition for a while.
Yeah, that'd probably get to their head a little bit. But like you're saying, we weren't able to see you at the NCAA tournament. We were hoping, fingers crossed and all of that. But you're part of a great conference here in the A-10, and I can say that being a Dayton Flyer myself. I mean, I'm no manager, but I was once asked by Archie Miller to star as a lead point guard for the Flyers, but I had to turn it down for academic reasons. Tell me about this A-10 and kind of like what you think the development of it's going to be moving forward. I know they had three teams in the tournament. Yeah. And I think it's been growing since our 4 years in the A-10. So give us a little background on that.
Yeah, I think what the A-10 does is pretty remarkable. We're obviously not a football conference, not a power conference. Budget-wise, you know, schools like Dayton and VCU probably have big budgets, but overall, your average A-10 budget is not even comparable to, you know, the ACC or the Big Ten or any of these power conference schools. And yet, like you mentioned, we're putting 3, 4, sometimes even 5 teams in the NCAA tournament. Teams are making runs. I think you were there when Dayton went to the Elite Eight, right?
Absolutely. It was the most fun time I've ever had.
Yeah, and 2013, the year before I got to LaSalle, they went to the Sweet 16. Rhode Island obviously got the 11-6 upset this year and then almost took down Oregon. So I think that when you see the success that the A-10 is having in the NCAA tournament, it shows that it's, you know, it's not just a league where you know, good teams rise to the top because the bottom's bad. It's good teams rising to the top because they're really good teams. And, you know, Rhode Island beat Cincinnati this year in non-conference play. VCU gets great wins every year. Dayton gets great wins every year. You know, we beat several teams that are in the NCAA tournament field. So I think the league is probably the most underrated one in the country. You know, we've been knocked a little bit. I think Coach K criticized us a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was tough.
But I think pound for pound, the A-10 does really well.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, so Jack, do you plan to stay involved with the program there after you leave?
So I'll obviously be a supporter of the LaSalle basketball program for life. I'll be going to University of Virginia next year for grad school. So unfortunately won't be there, you know, day to day. But, you know, if there's ways that I can encourage our players and whatnot, I'll obviously do that.
Absolutely. And we had kind of talked earlier in the week, and I don't know if you're going to be on the fence about it until you actually get to Virginia, but have you thought about working with Tony Bennett at all down there? He's an excellent coach.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it would be a tremendous honor to even try to go for it. At this point, I think I'm leaning towards trying to focus on my academics there, because it just like you made the decision to do that instead of playing for Dayton.
Of course.
But I do think it's kind of a unique academic opportunity for me. It's a 2-year program, so I think I kind of want to, you know, throw myself into that. But it's also not closing the door on potentially doing something basketball related in the future, because, you know, the game's been such an important part of my life since I started playing. I think Highwood Small Fry, if either you guys played Small Fry, right?
I played small. I was a reserve on the Highwood.
But you're the biggest small fry out there, but
what happened? I'm now 5'10" and I can't even play pickup anymore because I'm so bad.
Well, I mean, I was listening to your guys' episode with Eric Berry, and I was like, telling X, he seemed very confident in his late game shooting abilities. I liked it.
I mean, I guess maybe I have the clutch gene, but you know, the touch is not there. The layups are still hard to come by for me.
You got the lefty J though, right?
Oh, the lefty J, it's silky smooth. That's what I like.
It's tough to watch sometimes, though, Xander. I mean, playing with you recently.
I know. I know what my game looks like. But Jack, you brought up Oregon. You know, they played Rhode Island. We were talking a little bit last segment about, you know, this matchup in the Elite Eight between Oregon and Kansas. So what are your thoughts on the game?
Yeah. So to be honest, I actually predicted that Rhode Island was going to beat Oregon. But Oregon has just really impressed me. They look good last night against Michigan. But I'll tell you, Kansas to me, I mean, this is, I guess, not too bold of a statement given the margin of their victory, but they look to me to be kind of head and shoulders above the rest of the tournament right now. They're just playing so well. They have so many offensive options. But I really do think there's something to be said for you know, senior-led teams. So if I see a way that Kansas wouldn't win the championship, I think it'd be because they go up against a group that has some more experience and some more poise in a big moment. But I would say I'll still pick Kansas over Oregon to get to the Final Four out of that region.
An interesting game. We, me and Ethan both had Purdue in our bracket, so we're a bit salty. But you're right, Kansas did look unbelievable. I mean, that game started off as a very good game and quickly got out of hand. But, I mean, my thing about Oregon is I'm not a huge fan, but they have played two nail-biters in a row. And I think there's got to be something to speak for that, playing in a tight game. You know, Rhode Island, a 3-point game, Michigan, a 1-point game. I mean, Kansas so far has pretty much stepped over everything. Right. So I think that could be interesting down the stretch, because I think, you know, It's always been proven the team that chokes at the free throw line at the end of the game is the team that always loses.
Right. Oh, you're absolutely right. And the late game situation thing I think is really underrated. I ultimately had picked Gonzaga to win the championship coming into the tournament. But if I were to identify what would trip them up, I do think it's the idea that, you know, in their conference they tend to win by such comfortable margins that they don't have that tight game experience. Even like Wichita State, I know a lot of people were kind of high on them as a sleeper pick, but same deal. Like, they just win by so much. There's something to be said for a team like Kansas that has to go out and grind out wins in the Big 12 every week that prepares them for those late game situations.
Yeah. So I was thinking the same thing along that line. I've been hearing it when they talk about Gonzaga in the tournament, Jack, that really just the way they perform in their conference, they aren't matched up in a game where it's going to come down to the wire. I know they just played West Virginia. It was a nice win, and it did kind of come down to the wire, but they never were really trailing and had to fight their way back into it. So it is interesting. I mean, we'll see how far they can go. They're going to play against Xavier, which we're going to get into after the break we're about to hit. But thank you guys, everyone, for listening. This is the Sporting Edge of Liberty Talk.fm. Thank you, Jack, for joining. He's going to be on a couple more segments today. We'll be back right after the break, everybody.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at Bubba@thebubbashow.org We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
What's up? What's up? We're back here, Witz and Roz. We're graced to be joined by Stephen Cook, forward for the Princeton. It's the Tigers, right, Stephen? I can't believe I don't even know that.
That's right. That's right.
All right, perfect. See, I had it in the back of my mind. We still got Jack on, everybody. He gave a great opening segment telling us a little bit about the A-10. But now we're here with Stephen. Just wanted to run a quick couple statistics by everybody who's listening to the show. Stephen actually and his teammate. I'm going to have to ask another question real quick here, Stephen. Your teammate's name is Spencer Weiss. There's a Z at the end of the Weiss, so I didn't know if you like you toss that in there.
Yeah.
It's Weiss? Perfect. So I got it on. And this year was actually historic for both of them as they joined the 1,000-point club at Princeton. They were the 31st and 32nd players to do so. Princeton's been around since 1901 at the school, their basketball program. So it's kind of a big honor. We think that's cool because I've never scored a point in at the Division I level. So that's awesome. And if you want to know the point total, Stephen actually finished with 1,148. And that kind of goes in my first question. Were you counting those points, Stephen? Did you know that you had that many points?
No, not at all, to be honest. Every game you just go out trying to do whatever you can to help the team. So, whether that's scoring points or doing whatever else you can, you kind of look at the box score at the end and then move on to the next game.
Absolutely. And that's just a prototypical player answer right there. He's a team guy. We like that here at the Sporting Edge. Me and Witz.
But he's from New Trier. We got to knock him a little bit for that.
We're gonna knock him on the New Trier. Don't worry about that. We got three Deerfield kids in here against one New Trier, so I think we actually have the advantage for once, which wasn't common
in
high school.
Might be able to beat us 3-on-1, though.
That's probably true, too, although Jack's got a nice little jumper. We got to keep that in mind. But also, Steven, we've got some other cool stuff. You're tied for second all-time, and I know it's a couple other Princeton players, but you had 7 steals in one game. Do you know the date? Because I have the date here, and I want to see if you actually do pay attention a little bit to your stats.
Let's see. I remember the game. It was against Stony Brook my sophomore year.
Absolutely.
So taking a shot in the dark. I think it was before Christmas, so maybe December 20th, something like that.
So I'm impressed you did get it. It's before Christmas. You didn't get the exact date, but it is in December. It was December 6, 2014, and you're tied with George Leftwich, who played in 1992. Sidney Johnson in 1995, the year I was born, so that's an awesome feat right there as well. And then we got Marcus Schroeder in 2009, so almost around our time. He was just a little bit before we had or went to college. So that's really cool. We got some awesome things we got to ask Stephen, and it starts here actually because I actually bet against Princeton for the first time ever this year. I actually bet with a Princeton game on the line, and it was California versus Princeton when they were in Hawaii. So we're going to ask you first off how Hawaii was. The gym looked really kind of small and a little bit dark, but what was your take on being in Hawaii?
It was an incredible experience. One of the coolest trips I've ever been on and some of the coolest basketball games I've ever played. Basically, it was happening on a naval base in Hawaii.
Wow.
And so for the game, it was in like a really unique arena. It was open air, which made it hot and humid, but also a pretty cool environment. And another cool thing about the game was it was attended by only military members. So basically, the entire crowd was just military members in fatigues watching the game with only a few just regular citizens there. So it was pretty cool looking into the stands and getting to play in front of the people that serve our country. So incredible experience. Wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's amazing.
So Stephen, you guys made the NCAA tourney this year and you rolled through conference play, won the Ivy League tournament. What was that like, going 14-0 and winning the tournament and then playing against Notre Dame in the first round of the tournament?
It was amazing. It was my senior year, so that's what I really looked forward to, was having a year like that at Princeton. And wasn't able to make the tournament or win the league my first 3 years there, although we were close. But to end it that way with going undefeated in the league and then winning the tournament and then getting to play in the NCAA tournament, at the beginning of the year I couldn't have asked for anything more. So it was still pretty surreal looking back on it, but an amazing way to go out.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were so close. It was a 2-point game, and going into the tournament, like, were your expectations different from what it was actually like? I mean, I feel like that's got to be an unbelievable feeling, you know, to win a conference tournament and then be a part of, you know, probably the coolest thing in sports, I think, to a lot of us is March Madness. And the fact that you got to participate in it, you know, was it what you thought it was going to be? Was it better? Was it not, did not live up to the hype?
Yeah, I was actually talking to my coach about this the other day, and we both said, you know, the tournament is, you know, cracked up to be a lot, to be a part of it. And, to be honest, we both said it was exactly what it was cracked up to be. So,
yeah,
you know, the environment playing on CBS, playing in front of you know, a big crowd up in Buffalo, and you know, everything that was on the line, it was quite an amazing experience. Just wish that last shot dropped, and you know, we could have advanced in the second round, but you know, sometimes they don't fall.
Yeah, I mean, it looked amazing, and I was pumped. It was the first game of the day, so we were already stoked. I'm out of my seat already watching this game. And it kind of leads me to my next question. It involves kind of playing against some of the top competition in the NCAA. So you obviously went up against Notre Dame. You got to play against Bonzi Colson, who I think is going to be an absolute stud if he decides to stay at Notre Dame. I think he's a junior, not totally sure. But also in that California game, back to the Hawaii thing real quick, you played against Yvonne Rabb, who now is just declared to go to the NBA draft. Who would you say in your 4 years was the coolest player to play against or the toughest player to play against?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I got the chance to play a bunch of against a bunch of good players. Wow, that's a tough one.
that's what we do here. We like tricking people.
Yeah, you got me. I'd say probably the best, or I guess the toughest player I played against. I don't know what shoots the most recent memory is Bonzi Colson. You know. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if he's the most talented player we played against, but he was definitely one of the toughest matchups for our team. And, you know, we thought we matched up well against Notre Dame, you know, in terms of style play, pace, and, you know, personal matchups. But it was pretty hard for us to stop Bonzi. We threw some double teams at him, and, you know, we threw pretty much everything we had to try to stop him. But, you know, he was still able to have his way a little bit in the post, and that was kind of the difference in that game. So he was definitely, I think, the toughest matchup in a pretty critical moment for our team over my 4 years.
Yeah, he's a load. I mean, Xander, I know you're a big kid, but could you imagine Bonzi coming at you? Like, Bonzi's if I got hit, like, hip checked by him, like, on accident, I think I'm on the court for a while. Like, they have to bring out a stretcher or something, and I'm probably carted out.
Yeah, he's a big dude. Kind of reminds me a little bit of DeJuan Blair. That was my favorite player, the short, big guy.
He's a better shooter than Blair, though, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I know he is.
Yeah, and the thing about him, too, is he has like a 7'2 wingspan or something like that.
Holy.
You don't always notice, but, you know, as a 6'6 guy in the post with his size and that wingspan, it's pretty tough to stop. All
right. So, Steven, now that you guys aren't in the tournament anymore, do you still watch the games? Or are you still into the tournament at all?
It took me a little while to get into it. You know, we were the first game. You know, after our game, I you know, was still pretty emotional. Didn't really want to watch anything, so didn't really turn on the television too much until let's see, when was it? I guess the last day of the first round, and watched a couple of those games. Didn't get too into it, but you know, this past round, the Sweet 16, I kind of got back to my old ways. It's pretty hard not to get into March Madness, even if you weren't so successful as a part of it yourself. But, you know, I'll enjoy the games tonight and the Elite Eight the next couple of days. And, yeah, that'll be, you know, I'll follow it just like always.
Absolutely. And, Xander, I got another trick question here for Steven. And, Steven, again, you don't have to answer this because I don't know what rules we might be breaking, although you're done. You're season and career's over, so
right.
If I want to be your agent, I can technically be your agent right now, which we'll talk about after the show. But
sell
Steve,
yourself after the show.
We'll wait till after. But Steven, I got to ask. I have to ask the question: did you make a bracket? And if you made a bracket, did you make two? And in one of them, you have Princeton in the finals, and then in the other, you have .. in the finals.
I didn't. First of all, I did not make a bracket, but I did tell everybody to. Put us going all the way. So,
perfect.
I don't know what that did for other people's brackets. Probably not.
They were alive for at least a half an hour.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I was never a good betting man, so I don't know why people would take my advice anyway. So, and you said a hypothetical bracket?
Hypothetically, who do you have winning it all?
Hypothetically, I mean, from the beginning, I probably would have said I really liked Villanova, and part of that's because Coach Kittles, one of our coaches, he played there. He played in the NBA, Kerry Kittles, and he went to Villanova, and we used to watch a lot of their stuff in film. But again, I'm not a betting man, and they're out of the tournament now. So
yeah.
the teams left, I would pick Kansas. I love the way they play. I think Frank Mason's one of the best players in the country. Incredible leader. Watching him last night, he just makes big play after big play. So
he's fantastic.
Team that's now, I would go with them.
Perfect.
Yeah, Kansas is definitely a team to watch out for. But that's all the time we have here at the Sporting Edge. Everybody, we'll catch you back after the break. We're gonna have Steven and Jack on. We're gonna talk some games, and we will be right back. What's up, everybody? We're back here at the Sporting Edge. You've got two great guests on today, Stephen Cook of the Princeton Tigers basketball team and Jack DiMaggio, a longtime friend, went to Deerfield High School with us. So, Jack, I want to bounce back to you. You know, you got Stephen on the show with us today, so why don't you tell us a little bit about how you guys met?
That's a cute question.
I think it's super cute. It's like relationship goals.
As you guys know, Steven went to New Trier, so a CSL rival. and you guys obviously remember Coach Capps, legendary.
Great guy.
PE teacher, yeah. So while Coach Capps was a PE teacher at Deerfield, he was also an assistant boys basketball coach at New Trier. So he coached Steven. So I guess that was our mutual connection. So we have Coach Capps to thank for everything. We had kind of gotten in touch because when I was looking at colleges for a while, I applied to Princeton, ultimately didn't get in there. But when I was still optimistic that I might have a chance of going there, I got in touch with Steven and, started working out a few times. And then I think I started beating him in ping pong.
Nice.
Maybe beat him in FIFA. Maybe beating him in some other things, and I think he just wanted some revenge, and kind of just went from there.
Yeah, that sounds pretty accurate up until the last part, but I remember it a little bit differently. But anyway, yeah.
So, Steven, we were talking a little bit about the games. Obviously, we got some tonight, we got some tomorrow, and we asked Jack his opinion. Kansas, Oregon, Elite Eight, what's your take on the game?
Like I said before, I love Kansas, love Frank Mason. I think they're loaded with talent, and I think they're pretty hard to stop. They also have, a lot of experience on their team. So I think they'll be hard to stop. Oregon's a great matchup for them. They were in the Elite Eight last year and, made a run. So great matchup, but I'm taking Kansas.
Yeah, that's seems to be the general consensus around here. I think we're all on Kansas, but we've been neglecting this other game that's happening today, Xander, and that's Xavier versus Xavier versus Gonzaga. I think this is a nice opportunity for a non-like Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, whatever else the big conferences are, to have a Final Four appearance. Although, wait, Xavier's in the Big East, so I'm making mistakes all over the place right now. But who do you think Steven's coming out? And Jack, we want both your takes on this Xavier-Gonzaga matchup.
Jack, you can go ahead. I want to hear your opinion first.
I'll take Gonzaga. Like I said, I kind of thought going in, besides Princeton, that Gonzaga would win the tournament. For the record, Steven, I did pick Princeton to the Sweet 16. So,
see, that another person who shouldn't have taken my advice.
I think Gonzaga is just – they do have a lot of options. And, like last night they had guys whenever they played. Was it last night? They had guys in foul trouble, next man up. And Williams Goss, I think, is a great player, the foreign big guy.
Apologize, but,
yeah, whatever his name is. He's a beast. So I think that they have so many weapons that they're going to be hard to stop. But I also picked Xavier to lose their first round game, thinking that they had just not played great basketball down the stretch. So clearly they've proved me wrong all year. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do it again, but I'll stick with my Gonzaga pick.
Yeah, you know, I'm in the same boat. I'll take Gonzaga too. And yeah, a lot of times at this stage of the year, it's about what player can step up and make big plays at the end of the game. And I think Naja Williams-Goss is that player. You know, that's part of the reason I love Kansas because of Frank Mason, and love Gonzaga because of Naja Williams-Goss. So that's my pick.
All right, Xander, I got another stay woke moment here. I think Steven, because of his poor bracket choices, is riding our coattails now. I think he's just going along for the ride. That's why he wanted Jack to go first.
That's you read right through me. Actually, I was afraid to say, and yeah, you hit the nail right on the nose.
Perfect. So you know what? Just because of that, Xander, I'm switching it up. I'm going to go Xavier. I think they're going to cover the spread as well, and I'm going to be a Xavier guy. Although Dayton, that's like our biggest rival, so I have to really suck that up and kind of keep that hidden for a couple days. But Xander, I think we've beaten the NCAA head or nail into the head. That saying was not going the right way, so we'll scrap that. But we're going to do a little rapid fire segment here, Xander. I just kind of came up with this on the spot. We're going to rapid fire with Jack and Steven here. And you can hop in, Xander, with any weird, wacky question you have. But we're going to start it off. I'll direct the question. And we're kind of looking for a fast pace. I want a nice, quick answer. No, this is not an essay, so we're good. No five paragraphs from all of you guys. But we're going to start it off with Jack. Other than being president in 2030, what basketball team are you going to take over in the college landscape when you're a head coach?
Northwestern would be the dream job.
Perfect. So he's going to be at Northwestern. Cook, we got a great, great question for you here. And we're hoping we have an awesome answer. And this is the start of the great questions. So
you're really hyping it up here.
I know. I might have hyped it up a little too much, but that gets the listeners excited. So here it is. You're in the NCAA tournament, and your publicity, your fame definitely rose. It had to go up a little bit because you're playing on this national stage. Did anybody famous tweet you, message you, LinkedIn with you, or anything?
I wish, but unfortunately not. I also don't really use Twitter, but
that's a little Instagram piece like Lindsay Palaios or Jennifer Love Hewitt. Nobody came after you a little bit.
I got like three more follow requests, but the publicity didn't jump too much.
Okay. So we're just gonna create our own news that LeBron James reached out to you. So everybody here first at Sporting Edge, LeBron James is working with Stephen Cook this offseason. All right, Jack, really quickly back to you. Who would your vice president be?
Xander Horowitz.
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Has the wisdom, the people skills, and the humor to keep the office as it should be.
Okay, Cook, this is a breaking news moment right here. All right, this is, and you can elaborate on this, but we know you're going to be a Princeton grad, so a lot of jobs are opening up for you. They see Princeton, and it's like it's the winner chicken dinner type thing, but are you going to play over in Europe, or are you going to play in the D League, or are you going to be an instant starter in the NBA?
You know, hopefully instant starter in the NBA, but wherever they take me, Europe, D League, wherever I end up, just the highest level.
Can we break the news that you're actually going to attempt to go play basketball?
Yep, that's the plan right now.
Really? Wow, Xander, yes. This is huge. We're like sports.
And it's breaking on the biggest sports show and on television, radio. Everywhere.
So this agency thing is actually a big deal. I might actually have to sell myself after the show, but we'll skip that for right now because we have a typical question we ask all of our guests that come on the show, and it's perfect for you two because you guys are North Shore kids along with us. I know New Trier's a little nicer than Deerfield in some aspects, but
a lot.
We'll put that aside for right now. So me and Xander, we talk about this on the show. We're locker room guys. And Steven, you're a basketball player, so you spend a lot of time in the locker room. Jack, you're an assistant, so you're in the locker room and you played at Deerfield, so, and you've probably been to Midtown, I'm assuming, so you know what a good locker room is. So we always ask, because locker rooms is a very special time for Xander and I. We get to hang out, take a steam, a little bit of a hot tub maybe if you want it that day. Some locker rooms have like nice chairs you can sit in, so that's really nice. And for me, I like to blow dry my hair. I know Xander's not a big fan of that, but I blow dry the hair.
I don't have any hair, so what am I going
to do? I have nice hair, so I like to keep it intact. So we're going to ask you two separate questions about who you want as your locker room guy. So this is a guy you want to hang out with the locker room for a day. Jack, we'll start with you. If you could take any A-10 player or A-10 coach and just spend a day in the locker room, maybe play a little pickup game, but then the rest of your day you're spending in the locker room, who would it be? And are they a steam kind of guy or a hot tub kind of guy?
Roz, that's the weirdest question I've ever been asked in my life.
locker room's a very important time of the day.
I don't know. When you were talking about you and Xander together in the hot tub, I started to get a little.
You know what? He's a weird guy, but we're kind of coming up on the end of the show here. But you know, yeah. I wanted to thank you guys so much for being on, Steven and Jack. It was great having you. Hopefully in the future we'll have you guys on again. But once again, this is Jack DiMaggio, helping out LaSalle basketball program. He's going to be the future president of the United States. We have Stephen Cook, a star on the Princeton basketball team.
Future NBA player.
Future NBA player. They were a part of the NCAA tournament this year. Well, that's all the time we have here this week, everybody. The Sporting Edge. We're growing. We're getting bigger. We're getting some big people on. This is exciting. So thanks, Stephen and Jack, for being on. And as always, Roz, we will catch you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk Events.